Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this special Clásico edition of La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host, Drew McTeer, and we've just seen Barcelona host Real Madrid at the Camp Nou. A match that ended without any goals, but it still threw up many talking points. Later in the show, we'll be getting player ratings for Barcelona from Roman de Arquer and for Real Madrid from Hassan Karim. But first, I'll be discussing the match in detail with Paco Pollet. And Paco, we had to wait a long time for this Clásico. We had to wait an extra 55 days for it. It was 0-0, the first 0-0 since 2002. Was it worth the wait?
Well, I think that many fans will believe it wasn't, but I actually do. You know, the game was very interesting in my view because it delivered quite a few tactical switches and surprises and twists and turns. And I frankly expected some of the teams to finally win it in the last few minutes because of such the way many other games have been finished lately. For example, with that Leo Messi brilliant goal or Benzema doing some genius attacking action at the end of the game. But overall, I quite enjoyed it, even though I believe that especially the fans who attended the game and with those prices of the tickets skyrocketing, you know, because of the huge hype surrounding the game, I think they will be very disappointed thinking about what happened last Wednesday.
Yeah, I think in the end, the game was kind of interesting to me because we've seen so many Clásicos in the past where one of the teams just absolutely dominates and it's not that interesting, whereas this at least was intriguing all the way. Real Madrid, though, were certainly the better side. They had twice as many shots on target as Barcelona, 4-2. But what did Real Madrid lack in the final third? How come they couldn't quite get that goal?
Well, in the first place, I believe that they abused the use of long-range shots. For example, Fede Valverde tried a few ones, Gareth Bale also, way off mark. And I don't really think that with Ter Stegen in front of them, that was going to be an easy chance to score. They should have tried to deepen their attacks and try to get more into the box. And on the other hand, I also think that Benzema played too far away from the goal. You know, he played too far away from the box because he came down in order to become that chain or that link, that bonding between the attacking front and the midfield. And Benzema has to play very close to the box if he wants to be effective and if he wants to be crucial in the last few meters. So I think those could be two of the main issues which Real Madrid should have changed if they would have wanted to win the game.
You mentioned a couple of tactical points there, the long-range shooting and Benzema's position. What else surprised you about Zidane's tactics? Did anything catch your eye with the lineup that you used to start the game?
Yeah, you know, I think that placing Casemiro, Valverde and Kroos means sending a message straight away in the beginning of the game. You know, Modric was on the bench and without him, you have less options to deliver that pass between lines and trying to get, you know, some sort of advantage over the defense. But at the same time, having Casemiro and Valverde next to each other and also Kroos provides lots of workload, you know, lots and lots of running, lots of pressure. The marking was on spot, absolutely. I think Casemiro Casemiro was brilliant. I think Valverde was superb. Also, I actually liked Toni Kroos against Barca, because I had been pretty disappointed with him lately. But at the end of the day, placing those three in the midfield, Gareth Bale as a starter, that was some sort of move by Zidane. But at the same time, I think we missed Rodrigo or Vinicius to deepen the attack on the wing. I think Real would have used quite a lot one of them trying to get on the nerves of Jordi Alba, for example, or on the other side on Semedo, who always was attacking on that wing. And I think that Zidane possibly should have used at least one of them instead of Bale, who wasn't really that great against Barca.
Yeah, Bale was a little bit disappointed. He did have that offside goal, but apart from that, that was almost one of the few times where we saw Bale. Also, his really long-range throw-ins, which I found quite interesting. One of the talking points, of course, or two of the talking points, or maybe three, have to be the decisions in the first half. Most of them involving Raphael Varane. Should he have had a penalty, or maybe two, in the first half?
Well, I think that both those single actions could have been easily a penalty if the referee had been more focused on the play. And I'm actually amazed that the VAR didn't rule a penalty after Lenglet's swish kick. It was like a karate kick on Varane's thigh. You actually could see hours later the picture that Varane posted on social media, and it was absolutely a penalty, you know. In my view, I think Madridistas are reasonable enough to be mad after what happened. But at the same time, it wasn't really a controversial game overall. There were only a few plays where the referee could be in jeopardy, his opinion could be in jeopardy, but at the same time, both actions, Varane's penalty by Lenglet, and also he was held inside the box from the shirt, held by Rakitic. Rakitic was not very smart about that play, but at the same time, he got away with it. So I think Barca fans had reasons to be quite happy with the refereeing.
Yeah, certainly could have been given on another day. That's the phrase we'll use there. So what about Barcelona's performance? Because we just said they could have given away two penalties. Ter Stegen had several shots he had to deal with in the first half, and there was that offside goal, which was just a few centimetres either way from actually counting. So Barcelona were quite lucky to escape with a draw. What went wrong for them?
Well, except you mentioned him, Ter Stegen, who was superb once again. I think he's one of the most consistent players, not only for Barca, but I think all around Europe. He's always a 9 out of 10 or even a 10 out of 10 in every single game, and that's incredible. Except him, and also Gerard Piqué, who delivered one of his best games of the whole season, because he was clearing absolutely every single air ball that went into the box. He was quick, he was smart in every move when trying to mark players such as Benzema, who are quite tough to stop in any single game. I think both players were very good, but the rest of the team was lacking. I think everything went wrong. Most of it. I didn't like Semedo. I didn't like Jordi Alba, who had, by the way, an amazing play and chance after a Messi pass, who had been perfectly the 1-0. I didn't like the midfield. I think De Jong was absolutely missing on the spot. Busquets' absence was sorely missed by the team. And Griezmann was horrible, in my view, I'm sorry to say it. Messi was also disappeared. And Suarez, every single long ball that was sent to him, he fought all of them, he ran around, he pressed, but it was impossible to deliver a consistent performance with the defense of Real Madrid on top of him, and also with the playstyle of the whole team. So overall, I wasn't very impressed with how Barca delivered in El Clásico.
You mentioned a lot of Barcelona players there whose performances you didn't like, and two who you did in Ter Stegen and Piqué, but for man of the match overall, it had to be a Real Madrid player, right?
Yeah, Real Madrid were the better team overall, and I have to mention, obviously, Fede Valverde. I was super impressed with the way this 21-year-old guy has, come into this team one of the biggest team in the world and behave as if he was a veteran. He played against one of the strongest midfields in Europe, and I think he pocketed absolutely everyone. Rakitic, De Jong especially, he cleared the ball. He was able to recover. I don't know the exact number, but it was incredible. The number of balls that he recovered, he pressed, he ran, and obviously, once you have this sort of player on the pitch, you think if he's going to be lacking when passing or when moving the ball around, and he wasn't, you know. He was excellent in every single area of the game. So overall, I think Fede Valverde, and in my view, I think many other fans might think the same, was one of the biggest highlights of the game.
Now, we've seen Barcelona and Real Madrid over the first 17 weeks of the season. Now, who do you think will win the league?
You know, I think I can't really give a confident reply to this. I don't really know. Overall, I have liked Real Madrid much more than Barca so far. They seem better equipped. They play much better. And especially they seem to have a plan, which is obviously not giving the ball to Messi and wait to see what he comes up with. But, you know, Barca, even playing badly, they have marched forward in very complicated grounds and against teams which were very close to beat them, but ultimately failed. So I see Real Madrid slightly better at this point in the league. And I think little details will be crucial, and that the fight for the championship possibly will take place till the last match day. And I think that's great news for fans all around the world, because in the last few seasons, that was the opposite of what happened. You know, Barca had a cakewalk and they won like 3-4 match days before the season ended. So I think this is nice for a change.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to be close, and I agree with you, Paco. I think right now Real Madrid just have a little bit of the edge. Now, finally, there was a reason this match was postponed for 2 months. So let's talk a little bit about the political side of this game. It seemed to be quite peaceful during the 90 minutes. The balls were thrown onto the pitch, stopped it for a couple of minutes. But then after the game, there were a lot of disturbances outside, whereas there weren't really many disturbances when they protested before the game. What has the reaction been like to the political side of this very heavily politically charged Clásico?
Well, obviously, security was the top priority, and many people were worried about what could happen in such a big game, in such a night in Barcelona. And actually, the night could be summed up with a few key figures, which the emergency services and the police told the media, with 21 people injured, 6 people hospitalized, and 2 people arrested. So overall, it could have been much worse. And regarding the game, as you said, it was only stopped for a few minutes in the 55th minute because of those objects, plastic balls, balloons thrown into the pitch, but nothing serious, you know. And I think that the police did a great job, and the security was pretty tight, and that allowed the game and the event to develop quite normal and regular way. Overall, the feeling is that security prevailed both before and during the game, and that the incidents which happened after the game weren't that related to political activism, but, you know, people who take advantage of the context to just destroy urban environment with relative ease. So at the end of the day, I think that politicians and people in charge of security can brace themselves, because nothing really serious happened in Barcelona.
Yeah, I think we have to commend the job that the police and the security officials did there to allow us to enjoy a good game of football. Even though it was 0-0, I really enjoyed this one. And I thank you very much, Paco, for coming on and talking about it. After this short break, we're going to be hearing from Roman and Haas. They're going to be giving us their player ratings for Barcelona and for Real Madrid. Join us for that after this short break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome back to this Clásico special coming to you just after Barcelona and Real Madrid played out a goalless draw at the Camp Nou. Let's bring in Roman to our care now as Roman is going to share his Barcelona player ratings with us. Roman, take it away.
Ter Stegen, 8 out of 10. Probably one of Barca's best players in this game, especially in the first 45 minutes where Madrid dominated the game, but he made really important saves avoiding them from going ahead in the score. But in general, also in the second half, he was always there when the team required him to be. And with the ball on his feet, he was very calm and composed when Madrid applied high pressure. Nelson Semedo, I give him a 6. It took him a while to get into the game. He was lacking that flow he required, especially in attack. But little by little, he started to release himself and he was proving to be quite lethal in those last few meters, combining with Messi, combining with Suarez, and created a couple of good chances down that right wing. But he was also tied back a lot because he had to defend those Madrid attackers. So it wasn't his best game, and in the end, Valverde substituted him in the second half. Clément Lenglet, a 7 out of 10 for me. It has to be said that in the first half, I didn't like him too much. He seemed a bit wobbly in defense, a bit lost, we could say, a bit too aggressive in some of his defending, way past the line. But in the second half, he improved a lot. He was way more calm and composed, and he was really solid together with Piqué, stopping Madrid from scoring what seemed a likely goal. So also a very decent game, especially in the second half from Lenglet. Gerard Piqué, he gets a 7 out of 10. In my opinion, he was one of the better players for Barcelona in this game, basically because Barca had to defend more than anything else against Madrid's constant attacks. And he was crucial in saving a goal right under the goal line from a Madrid corner kick with his head. He was very aware and he was at the right place at the right time. Credit to him. And basically, he was one of the reasons why Madrid didn't end up scoring despite getting lots of chances on goal. Jordi Alba, I give him a 5 out of 10. It's true that in the first half he had a great scoring opportunity. He also sent him some really good crosses which could have been Barca's first goal. But then in the second half he completely, or at least faded away quite a lot from the game. He was way less relevant in attack. Barca needed him more from him, especially in the last meters. And I didn't think we saw the best version of Jordi Alba, who's still struggling from his recent injury. Rakitic, he gets a 6 out of 10. He had a very difficult task filling in Busquets' shoes, especially against the Madrid, who was very offensive, so a lot was required from Rakitic in defense, and he did struggle in that first half. But in the second half, I think he was better. He was cooler with the ball in his feet, and he made the right decisions when having to pass the ball from the back towards the midfield. Frenkie de Jong, he gets a 5 out of 10. I know it was his first Clásico, it is an easy game to play in, but I expected so much more from him in this match. I thought it would be that connection between the midfield and attackers such as Griezmann, Luis Suarez and Messi, but I think he failed in that task and he really wasn't comfortable in that midfield with a great job from Fede Valverde and Casemiro, who were both capable of cancelling most of his offensive presence. Sergi Roberto, he also gets a 5 out of 10 in this game. He lacked the creativity Barca needed in that midfield, and he was struggling to connect with Frankie de Jong and with Rakitic. And also, you could just tell Barca's midfield was split apart, especially in the first half, where there was no control during the game. In the second half, as a right back, he didn't improve too much and didn't really have a big impact, as you expect from a passionate player such as Sergi Roberto. Luis Suarez gets a 4 out of 10. He was very clumsy in this game, very slow. His legs seemed so heavy, and he made a mess of lots of good opportunities and chances he had. So not a decent performance, far from what we've seen him do in El Clásicos, where he's scored many important goals. Messi, 6 out of 10. I get a similar feeling to Suarez. He was a bit slower than in other games. Also, Barca needed him a lot more. He did give some key assists, which could have ended in goal. He created some opportunities, as he always does, but he was far from the Messi we've been enjoying this season. Griezmann, he gets a 4 out of 10. It's true that in defense, he does a lot. He works hard for the team. He presses. He's very constant, but there was nothing, no side of him in attack, especially in the first half. We didn't see him basically generating any danger, and in the second half didn't change much, to be honest. It felt like the Ansu Fati change should have come much earlier, and for a guy you've paid so much money and who's supposed to be one of the best in the world, you just expect more in such an important game as El Clásico. Arturo Vidal gets a 6 out of 10. He came onto the field with his usual intensity, that energy he always brings onto the match. But unfortunately, that energy didn't spread on to the other players. It just stayed in him. And he was up and down. He was running. He was pressing, defending, doing whatever he can to help the team. But unfortunately, it didn't make a change. It didn't have a global effect on the whole Barca squad, which was still quite dull in the game in the second half after he came in. Ansu Fati, he gets a 6 out of 10. Although he didn't have too much time to prove himself, but the few minutes he was there, I thought he was very electric. He was looking for that one-on-one against the defenders, and he created a few interesting opportunities. But unfortunately, he was subbed in quite late, so it was hard for him to have an impact in this match.
Thank you, Roman. Now, to get the player ratings from a Real Madrid perspective, here's Hassan Karim.
Starting in goal, we had Thibaut Courtois. He had a pretty uneventful night, generally speaking. Faced two shots on target, which he handled pretty well. He was very quick on his feet, very clean with his saves, and he was also pretty good with distributing the ball long. Had a little bit of a struggle with when he came out to clear a ball, which didn't quite go to plan, but by and large, pretty solid night for the Belgian. I'd say probably a good 7 out of 10. Moving to right back, we had Dani Carvajal. He was tasked with man-marking Antoine Griezmann and working the right flank alongside Gareth Bale. So Danny was essentially shadowing Griezmann along the pitch, with Gareth Bale working on Jordi Alba. He worked pretty tirelessly through the night, didn't make many mistakes, and even made two key passes, so I'd say give him a solid 8 out of 10. Rafael Varane played an absolute monstrous game for Real Madrid. He produced probably one of his best performances of the season, in honesty, marking out the infamous Luis Suarez. But he pretty much nullified Suarez's attacks, didn't seem to let him get through very often, and was very quick to sweep up all counter-attacks at the back with his electric pace, so he gets a solid 9 out of 10. Sergio Ramos, his partner, was also very, very good in this game. Made an incredibly good goal line clearance, which saved Real from going behind, and made some very good goal preventing slight tackles. Especially the one on Luis Suarez within the 18-yard box, which was, again, absolutely monumental to stopping Barcelona going 1-0 up. So I'd say he gets a solid 8.5. Ferland Mendy seems to struggle a little bit in this game early doors. As it continued to go on, it seemed he followed the instructions of his teammates and did a better job of getting through the game, really. He did quite well on the attack, though, completed 4 dribbles, but his final ball was lacking, so I'd say maybe a 7.5 out of 10 for the Frenchman. Casemiro, probably the best defensive midfielder in the world right now, quite easily. Once again, showed exactly why Real Madrid need him to start every game. completed a game high of 5 tackles, including that crucial heel tackle on Lionel Messi in the final 15 minutes. He's completed 10 ball recoveries. He was good at actually disputing the ball, looking to play in long balls behind to Gareth Bale, which weren't always accurate, but the intent was good, so he had a solid 9 out of 10. Toni Kroos, again the metronome of the team, completed the most key passes with 3, with 76 in total, and that came in at an incredible 95% accuracy. He was very good in his press resistance, wasn't often caught out on the ball other than once with Lionel Messi. Another solid showing from the German, that would give him a solid 8 out of 10. Fede Valverde once again showed just why everybody is lauding that massive potential that he does have. He broke lines with his ball-carrying ability, very composed on the ball, very good with his long shots, especially those two first-time shots from outside the box, which nearly found the back of the net on a couple of occasions. So I'd say he gets a solid 8 out of 10. Coming in, Isco also, under some pressure like Gareth Bale, with his performance, was he going to stand up and give us that big game performance that we knew that he had in him? And by and large, he did. Breaking through Barca's first lines of pressure, he completed the most dribbles in the team with 3, delivered 2 key passes, and was very good at ghosting those half spaces and pulling off vertical passes into the final third. All in all, a very solid performance from the Spaniard. I'd give him a solid 8 out of 10. On to the right wing with Gareth Bale. Bale had quite a tough task in man-marking Jordi Alba, but also becoming an offensive outlet on the counter, so it was easy and quick to find him on the counters and also exploit that space behind Jordi Alba. He had some nice touches, also played in some pretty good crosses in the first half. He also completed 2 interceptions to complete the most aerial duels of anyone in the team, so all in all, an all-action night for the Welshman. Maybe a 7.5 out of 10. Karim Benzema, while he may not have got into the spaces that he wanted to in the box, he did an absolutely wonderful job holding the ball up, anticipating all the pressure, keeping the ball while recycling possession. His technique is just unbelievable, and his ball control is just, it's a marvel to watch. I'd say a solid 7.5 for the Frenchman in this game. Substitutions, Zidane only actually used 2, which did surprise me to a degree. Rodrigo came in for the final 10 or 11 minutes. He didn't have many touches and didn't get that much time to make much of an impact, but he looked pretty confident on the ball, and he did get the touches that came to him, and didn't look awfully out of place, so it wasn't too bad, so maybe a good 6 out of 10. Luka Modric, like Rodrigo, came in for that final 10 minutes and kept things ticking, made 18 passes at a 95% completion rate, which was also very impressive. I'd say that was a good solid 6.5 out of 10 from the Croatian.
Thank you, Hassan. That's it for our classical review show then. I've been your host, Jim McTeer, and it's been a pleasure to be joined by Paco Pollitt, Roman de Arquer, and Hassan Karim. Be sure to interact on Twitter with us at La Liga Lowdown, letting us know whether you agree or not with the player ratings. We look forward to the discussion, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.